Hello, it's Russell from the British Touring Car Podcast here. Today, it's like a little bit different. It's just me, and we're going to go through one of the greatest British touring car rivalries. So, grab a drink, settle down for Jason Plato and Yvonne Muller, the ultimate British touring car rivalry. In the world of British touring cars, rivalries are common, but few have been as intense, fierce, and personal as the battle between two legends, Jason Plato and Yvonne Muller. Today, we'll dive into the iconic rivalry that defined an era of British touring car racing. Two champions, both of unparalleled skill and fiery determination, battling it out for the supremacy on the track in a battle that took rivalry and touring car politics to new heights and arguably new lows. In terms of personality, you couldn't get more different people. Jason Plato, the outspoken, charismatic and fiercely competitive British driver, a man who thrived on the chaos of touring car racing, known for his aggressive overtakes and never give up attitude, a name synonymous with British touring cars and forever etched into the history books. And on the other side of the garage, Yvonne Muller, the cool, methodical Frenchman, known for his precision, consistency and ability to stay calm under pressure, and someone who's perhaps was able to play the game a little bit more conspicuously. Two contrasting styles, one common goal, to be the king of British touring car racing. What could go wrong? The rivalry between Jason Plato and Yvonne Muller first took shape in the early 2000s. Plato had already established himself as a force in the touring cars, having won the trust of legendary Frank Williams and being entered as a part of the Williams-Renault touring car team. But Yvonne Muller, the experienced Frenchman with a resume of wins across Europe, was not here to be second best. And it is important to note that their rivalry wasn't just about racing skill. It was a clash of personalities. Two people who raced hard, but in different ways. Plato, never one to shy away from mind games, would often stir the pot with provocative comments, trying to get inside Muller's head. For example, speaking to the Daily Express, if you look at the stats and videos, I think there is one common denominator in the bad driving, and that would be Yvonne. This approach would be something we'd later see in his career, especially with battles from a certain tall lad in an orange car. I think his name was Matt Neal or something. A look into that rivalry coming soon. Muller, on the other hand, preferred to let his driving do the talking. His calm demeanour off the track was in stark contrast to the intensity of his on-track battles. So the boiling point. Jason entered the Vauxhall team in 2000, but it was made clear he was a second driver. This had become obvious in controversial fashion at meeting number two, Thruxton. Plato was leading the championship going into the weekend and winning the race. However, despite how early into the season this was, he was asked to relinquish the lead to number one driver, Muller. Plato decided to acquiesce the request, but not without a fight. You could say he did it in typical Jason manner. Speaking to Motorsport magazine, he said, "If you put the team orders on me now, then the world has to know." On the final lap of the feature race, he launched his car over the start-finish line, putting his indicators on and practically stopping the car to allow Yvonne through. To the Motorsport world, it was clear what was happening. Now, obviously, we are not privy to what contractual terms were in place, and maybe this was an early message to Jason to remember his place within the team. However, so early into the season, you can understand why this didn't sit comfortably with him as a racer. It is also understood that there was a second driver clause in Plato's deal, although he felt it only applied in the second half of the season if Muller was in the title fight. Now, team orders have always been a controversial subject, and while sometimes you can understand the necessity, this example was a particularly bitter pill to swallow, and perhaps in an attempt to quell any suggestion of a feud, Jason would end up in 2001 entering the season on equal terms with Muller. This set 2001 up to be a tinderbox within the team. ...2001 was a new era for the British touring cars. New rules, new regulations brought in to try and cut costs and keep the sport attractive didn't completely work, with Honda and Ford both pulling out of the series, leaving Vauxhall as the main contender, with Peugeot the only other works team to contest the full season. It is worth noting that the Peugeot was, to be polite, poor, and the MG, whilst competitive, arrived far too late, racing the final three meetings only, meaning it would be a battle of the Vauxhall drivers for title glory. Plato would be pitted up against Yvonne Muller and James Thompson in the Vauxhall stable. So whilst the grid may be reduced, you'd be hard-pushed to find two harder teammates to compete against. Dan Bennett drove the fourth car and is a somewhat forgotten man in this tale. Plato kicked off the season in decent fashion with a second and a win at Brands Hatch, but after six races, Muller had four wins to Plato's sole success and was opening up a nice gap at the top of the standings. However, Plato would clearly do some soul searching and came back fighting and found the extra seconds to close the gap on his French foe. A string of results, including wins at Knock Hill and Alton Park, brought him back into contention for the crown. Tensions had been bubbling. This was particularly evident at the first visit to Donington Park, where the pair seemed to forget they were teammates representing a high-end brand and began taking lumps out of each other. Plato tagged Muller into a spin, which the French driver was able to save despite losing his rear bumper. For the rest of the race, there were smashed door handles and both attempt robust overtakes on each other. It would have looked out of place at a fun fair, and when you hear of people talk about the good old days where contact was allowed, this is likely what was being yearned for. Matters then calmed between the pair, with no further real incidents in the next rounds. Perhaps a few Triple Eight insiders were hoping the choppy waters had been navigated safely. However, what lay around the corner was a storm, an angry one at that. Any sense of calm or tranquility was shattered at the third to last event held at Silverstone. The rivalry wasn't just confined to the track. In the pits, a political war was simmering, and it would explode at this event. Plato had lost ground in the sprint race, and Muller, despite some early robust and aggressive racing between the pair, had the feature race pretty much sewn up. He was faster, and with a lap to go, it seemed Muller would take a step towards the title with a win. However, as Plato came through Bridge, he was suddenly drawing closer to Muller. It seemed the leader's car had a problem. Plato caught Muller and made a lunge for the lead. Unsurprisingly, Muller didn't just stick on the indicator, and the two clashed, with Muller suffering massive suspension damage. From my standpoint, Muller tried to block Plato, who was trying to pass a car with a problem. This was a skirmish that could, and should, have been avoided. Plato was able to cross the line in first place, whilst Muller limped his Vauxhall over the line in third before abandoning his stricken vehicle just past the finish line. This was not the end of the matter. On the podium, tensions rose, with Muller refusing to shake Plato's hands. Behind the scene, the team, under the direction of team boss Roland Dane, appealed the result, citing Plato had made a dangerous move. The appeal stuck, and Plato was shuffled down the finishing order, with Muller inheriting the win. Now, if a team boss going against his own driver didn't sound bizarre enough, the next stage of this saga is almost Hollywood. Plato wanted to appeal the decision, but didn't have enough time to get to his road car, retrieve the checkbook, and lodge the appeal. So, in a shocking turn of events, Ian Harrison, co-owner of the team, personally wrote Plato a check to lodge the appeal. Battle lines were being drawn. Despite Plato claiming the data showed Muller was slowing up as he had a fuel shortage, as shown in his later book, the penalty was not reversed. Plato also alleged that Muller knew he had an issue with the fuel and refused to publicly accept this, painting Jason as the villain. Matters didn't thaw as the season drew to a close. They had once again raced in an undignified manner at the second visit to Donington Park, with plenty of contact between the feuding pair in pure Hollywood drama. Jason would then have his lawyer in attendance at the final meeting at Brands Hatch, clearly anticipating further problems. And to be fair, he wasn't wrong. Ahead of the qualifying session, a further attempted sabotage against Plato was made. Team co-owner Derek Warwick would approach Jason and state the stewards wanted to see him ASAP. It had been brought to their attention that Plato had amassed too many penalty points and shouldn't be allowed to compete. Derek asked why this wasn't raised at Silverstone, the reply being a rather schoolboy one. We weren't aware of it then. So the obvious question, how were they aware of it now? Well, remarkably, the answer appeared to be that Dane had told the stewards. Derek was able to rush around the grid and get dispensation from the other teams for Plato to be allowed to race, but this is another chapter in the political turmoil of the Vauxhall team of 2001. The final race of the year was met with wet conditions, perhaps a metaphor for the gloomy, often stormy atmosphere within the leading team's garage. Plato led the points tally, and interestingly, he had lobbied for the race not to go ahead on the grounds of safety. However, the race did go ahead, with rain pelting from the sky. I'm prepared to bet that if the race was held in modern day, it would be heavily delayed. For Muller to win the championship, he needed to win the race with Plato finishing third or lower. Early in the race, it seemed that the stars had aligned for Muller as Jason hit Strife early, spinning the car at Surtees and falling down the field. Plato had managed to catch the slide and remarkably bounced off the tyre barrier to get back on the track without damage. Whilst the car was working, his chances were at best slim. Muller had control. However, in a season full of twists, we're about to see a further one. Muller, whilst leading, had made several errors himself and had been smashing through the muddy wet turf at Surtees. Track limits not really being the same controversy as seen today. Just ask Ricky Gollard. A safety car was called due to a car being stuck at Clark. Whilst following behind the flashing lights, flames begin to flicker beneath the leading car. That car was, of course, Muller's. The force of the grass excursions had damaged the car's oil rut, resulting in fire. Muller did his best to use the standing water to quell the blaze, but was forced to retire. And as the embers died, so did his shot at glory. Plato had finished second on the track and top overall. However, the cost of success was heavy. The political battleground, acts of betrayal and division within the team was irreversible. And Jason would not only leave the team, but the sport at the end of the 2001 season, with his BTCC crown cast in shadow. Muller had a deal for 2002, and it was absolutely clear the two couldn't remain within the same stable, with Muller later being at pains to point out in the battle with Thompson in 2002 that that was far more amicable. However, it wasn't without incident. It is worth caveating the story that we've only ever really seen Plato's side. History is written by the victor and all. Plato has spoken fairly extensively on this subject and written about it in his book. Muller hasn't been as vocal, however, to the best of my knowledge, the tale told by Plato hasn't been overly challenged. Plato would return in 2004, this time piloting a Seat. Whilst Muller and Plato would come to blows again early during his return, there was no contrast to the 2001 battles. Plato wasn't really competing for the title, and Muller would end up missing out to James Thompson again. Muller would leave the championship at the conclusion of the 2005 season, having been pipped to the title once more, and would go on to have a successful career in the World Touring Cars, taking four crowns. Plato would continue to compete in the British Touring Cars and fill the Muller-shaped hole with a lanky lad from the West Midlands. More on that next time. The Plato-Muller rivalry is remembered as one of the greatest in British touring car history. It was a rival that had everything: skill, aggression, controversy, and politics. Jason Plato went on to become one of the most successful drivers in British touring car history, while Yvonne Muller cemented his legacy, not only in British touring cars, but in touring cars worldwide. Together, they defined, and given the uncertainty the new regs brought, probably saved an era. And their rivalry remains a benchmark for what makes touring car racing so thrilling. They say time is a healer, and time was able to heal these battle scars. During a later commercial filming for Seat, Plato and Muller would spend time together, with Jason stating, "It was great to share a laugh and joke with somebody who I've always admired as a racing driver, and whom I now have an awful lot more respect for off the track too." Two drivers, one unforgettable rivalry, Jason Plato and Yvonne Muller, forever etched in the history of British touring cars. Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this look back on the British touring cars' greatest rivalries, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share your favourite moments from the Plato-Muller era in the comments below. Until next time, bye-bye.